Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the second to the last committee for the House Transportation Committee. Representative Murphy, you're looking at me. There are minutes in the packet for April 2nd, 2025. And first, I should say there is a quorum present tonight. And the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of April 2nd, 2025. Would you move the minutes, please?
So moved. Thank you, Chair. Murphy did that.
Murphy Joy moves the minutes of April 2nd, 2025. For the record, that was Representative Murphy. All in favor of the minutes of April 2nd, 2025, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Before we begin, our CLA wants you to know that there are rulers in your packets to help you go through the spreadsheet. She used to be a teacher, so it's very important to her. Actually, she still is a teacher. Chair Cagle, do you have any comments before we begin? Okay. Yep, committee. So we have a few new members to the committee and a few new members altogether. This is the introduction of the Omnibus House Transportation Bill. It's there's a DE amendment to House File 2438. There's a spreadsheet that accompanies the funding for the bill, and then Mr. Lee will go through that, and then Mr. Burris will go through the bill in general, and then tomorrow we will officially move the bill. So this is just to give some public introduction to the bill. It was posted earlier today with the compressed time schedule. We would like to give a little bit more time, but we're working with what we've got. Before we begin, I want to offer my sincere thanks to both Mr. Lee and Mr. Burris, extreme professional, courteous, and most importantly, patient with both of us as chairs. And I know I've said it before, but it's very earnest and it's appropriate to say it in public. Committee members, I appreciate the work that you've done, the bills that you've introduced, questions that you've asked in committee and outside of committee. I want to thank our staff, Mr. Marble, Cindy Whalen, our House pages, Chair Cagle, the DFL side, you can call them out too, because I appreciate their work as well. Go ahead, because you know their names better than I do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we have our CA, Matt Bauman, our committee legislative assistant, Alex Wheeler, and then DFL researcher, Kyle Schwab over there. And they've been great partners to me. So it's been great. Thank you.
Yeah, and I almost, because he's not sitting with the other staff, Mr. Brill, thank you for your work. We move quite quickly and expect a lot of our staff, and they help us to look a little better than more prepared than we actually are. Thank you to all the testifiers this year, and then also the department and such for giving us some guidance. If we don't have any general member questions, we'll just go straight to House Fiscal and walk through the bill. Members, are you good? Okay, let's take it away. I want to give my thanks first, I guess, also to Chair Cagle. It's not an easy process. This is a unique environment with a balanced committee and legislature or House of Representatives. But we put in many hours and came to a bill that I think has a lot for a lot of people and stakeholders in the transportation world. So thank you, Chair Cagle. Mr. Lee, please walk us through the spreadsheet.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll go through the spreadsheet that is dated 4-9-2025, 5:21 p.m., and it looks like this. It's a legal size sheet of paper, or if you have the color copy, it looks like this one. So this spreadsheet represents the appropriations in the DE first article, and it goes mostly in order of the appropriations language. But the spreadsheet gives you a context of what the beginning or the base appropriation is, what the change is, and what the total appropriation is. So what appears in the language is the bolded lines. So for example, on the first page of the spreadsheet, lines 13, 14, and 15 are what appears in the language, but what the spreadsheet is showing you is the change from base in the lines above that. To orient you on the spreadsheet a little bit, so there is the department, the division of the department, and then the specific appropriation. Column A shows the fund. Column B shows the current biennial funding. Column C and D show the base amounts. Column E through G show the governor's recommendations. And you'll notice in a few places on the spreadsheet where there isn't an item in the House DE, but there is something in the governor's recs, and that's because this spreadsheet has to show the comparison against the governor's recs. And then columns H through N are the DE language in front of you. I won't go through every single line, but just point out that on starting on line 11 and then continuing with lines 20 and 21, you see appropriation increase. Those are part of a number of operating adjustments that were part of governor's recs. And you can see that they're funded by general fund, state airports fund, trunk highway fund. I won't point everyone out, but just to notice that that those are throughout the appropriations. So the first change aside from those is on line 22 with the Duluth Airport Tower at $10 million over the biennium out of the state airports fund. Then the next change aside from operating adjustments is on line 36, which is a change to the Greater Minnesota Transit appropriation. This reduces it from base by $12 million over the biennium, and you can see that on line 36. On the second page, there is also a change for the base, not in the current budget biennium. The current budget biennium is 26 and 27, but in what is called the tails biennium, or 28-29. So this sets the base lower. And you see that for passenger rail on line 48. Then there are two change items on line 55 and 56 pertaining to freight and rail safety. Then starting at the bottom of this page on state roads, you can see an operating adjustment for operations and maintenance as part of the state road appropriation. And that's on line 70. Then going to planning and research, you can see a number of change items there. Including operating adjustments, metropolitan planning organization grant increase, and trunk highway corridor planning on lines 78, 80, and 81. Then under program delivery, you can see operating adjustments and a transportation project activity portal on line 89. Then following to state road construction on line 99, you can see an appropriation increase and the recognition of federal dollars for spending on the Blotnick Bridge on line 100. Then a increase to the Corridors of Commerce appropriation that the base on line 106 is $25 million, and that increases by $15 million to $40 million total a year, or $80 million over the biennium, and that is a one-time increase. Moving to the next page is a $30 million one-time biennial increase appropriation for transportation economic development. Then on line 120, a one-time appropriation for resilient pavement program. Then for state road construction, or sorry, state radio communications, you can see the operating adjustment and then a one-time appropriation of $14 million for the statewide radio armor towers out of the 911 fund. Then moving to page 5 under local roads, you can see a increase as a result of increases to the highway user tax distribution fund. This cascades to the trunk highway fund and county and municipal state aid funds. So you can see that on line 150 and 159. And as a result of changes to the blackout plate fee revenue allocation and EV surcharge. Then you can see two one-time appropriations for other local roads on line 165 and 166 for the local road program and the local bridge program. Moving on to page 6, agency management, you can see operating adjustments on line 178 and 179. For buildings, you can see an operating adjustment on 189 and facilities modernization appropriation on 190. And that closes out MnDOT. Then moving to page 7, under the Metropolitan Council, you can see a change in the appropriation on line 216, decreases the general fund appropriation for transit system operations by $20 million a year, or $40 million over the biennium for the 26-27 biennium, and then an elimination of that appropriation set in base in the tails. And so that would be columns L through M on line 216. Then for special transportation service, this is largely Metro Mobility. The appropriation in does not change from base in 26 or 27, but is reduced from the forecasted base to $118 million a year in 28 and 29. The Department of Public Safety starts on line 228, and you can see an operating adjustment and a governor's rec that reduces an appropriation on 233. Then the various other central office items for Department of Public Safety. So you can see public safety support, public safety officer survivor benefits, officer reimbursements, and soft body armor reimbursements. And then technology support and services, for which there is a operating adjustment. And that takes you to page 9, which shows the state patrol appropriations. So you can see on line 272 and 273, the elimination of two other fund appropriations. There's a $37,000 a year general fund appropriation and a $92,000 a year in the base highway user tax distribution fund appropriation that in the DE is being eliminated. And then you can see the operating adjustment from the trunk highway fund, and then state patrol recruitment and hiring initiatives, which is slightly different from the governor's recommendation, where the governor's recommendation has, you can see on column F, $2 million over the biennium and $20 million in the tails. This has $11 million in column K for the budget biennium and $2 million in the tails. Then you can see operating adjustments for commercial vehicle and vehicle crimes units. Moving on to driver and vehicle services, this is a division of DPS that is funded out of the Special Revenue Fund. And so you can see all of the funds here are from the Special Revenue Fund, or SR. And you can see operating adjustments on line 307 for driver services and 318 for vehicle services. Then DVS rulemaking authority for ignition interlock at line 308, loss of consciousness rulemaking, Circle Pines full service provider, and driver's license revocation modifications on line 311. That's on the driver side. Then on the vehicle side, no fee transaction reimbursements for service providers on line 319, electric vehicle surcharge, public information on 320, and then rental motor vehicle plate, open appropriation. This is a interaction with a policy provision in the bill on line 322. Then for traffic safety, you can see operating increases in a another change item on line 333 that increases planning and administration for federal match, or sorry, 334. And then reductions on line 335 and 336. Then going to the next page, there is a one-time appropriation for the University of Minnesota Empowering Small Communities on 363. And then a $10 million local road wetland replacement appropriation for the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and a base that is set on 378. Also of note, there is a provision that allows the Metropolitan Council to levy a region-wide tax-supported property tax-supported bonds. There's a number of tax interactions that are a result of this. Unfortunately, the DOR revenue note on this is not available yet, and so this will be updated. But the provision requires the Met Council to pay back the state for the general fund cost incurred by the tax interactions. So this, you'll see that line 371 updated in a future spreadsheet. On page 12 are a number of named projects. The first are local grants starting on line 376 through 386, and these are all out of the general fund. Then on lines 388 through 392 are trunk highway projects that are out of the trunk highway fund, except for on line 391, which is from the general fund. Then you can see the total direct appropriations under that. And then moving to the next page, you can see the various transfers. So there is a change in the active transportation transfer. So you can see the base for that is $16.4 million a year, and then there's a reduction, or sorry, a biennium, and there's a reduction of $4 million in the 26-27 biennium to $12.439 million, and a reduction of $4 million a year in the tails, or $8 million total in the tails biennium. And then there's a further, both the governor's rec and a change here that on line 418 that delays the property tax associated with railroads to passenger rail operating. And so that is a delay in the tails. So it's a general fund savings is what those negatives mean on line 418. Then there are two transfers set up for the 28-29 biennium of $66.58 million for the Trunk Highway Fund on line 429. So this is from the general fund to the Trunk Highway Fund. This is a base, not spending for the upcoming biennium. And then almost the same amount for County State Aid Highway on line 430. Then moving to page 14, you can see a number of extensions in the years that those were appropriated on lines 437 through 448. And so you see a cancellation and an extension for all those. So each of those pairs is just one extension. And then modifications or reducing past appropriations on line 450 and 451 for from the 2023 budget bill, so those past appropriations being reduced. And you can see that on line 415, 451. Then on the next page are various revenue items. So this is not spending, but recognized revenue. So if it's a positive number, it means more revenue to the state, and so you can see on line 460 and 461, this is recognition of federal funds for the trunk highway system, and ones particular for the Blotnick Bridge. Then on line 464 and 465 are the estimated revenue for the surcharge increase of for both greenhouse gas mitigation and to the HUTD. I should note this is not an official estimate. The DOR Department of Revenue will have to do an estimate on this, but these are preliminary estimates. Also of note, the DE changes what is taxable for the delivery fee, and so there would be a change to delivery fee revenue, which would change the amounts on lines 467 through 475, and that is awaiting a note from Department of Revenue. Then there is a governor's rec and a change that is recognized here on line 490 for the Metropolitan Council, that is Metro Mobility certified customers free rides on buses and trains. And this is a cost to the Metropolitan Council. Then on starting on line 472, you can see the various interactions with DVS related legislation. So the online driver's license renewal, this is estimated additional revenue to the DVS account as a result of online driver's license renewal on line 493. And you can see a commercial learner's permit extension. So this is a small cost to the or less fee revenue to the DVS account on line 497. And then a redirection of blackout plate revenue on line 499. This was a November forecast estimate that will have to be updated with a February forecast. So the number might be a little bit different here. And then on line 500 is a result of driver's testing, no-show fee increases, and late cancellation fee increases. So that's additional revenue to the DVS account as a result of that change. And an interaction with the rental motor vehicle plate change on line 451. Then you can see a number of changes of revenue impacts to the motor vehicle dealer plate modifications also contained in the DE amendment. Then on lines 512 through 517 are the cascade effect through the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund of increases to that fund then get split between trunk highway, county state aid, and municipal state aid streets via constitutional formula. So on the last page is the summary of general fund only. So you can see the Department of Transportation, the Metropolitan Council, Department of Public Safety, my council tax interactions, awaiting a revenue note, University of Minnesota, Board of Water and Soil Resources, and then the total spending, the total change from revenue, and so the general fund spending net, then the spending compared against the base. And you can see on the last box, just under line 581, the net zero change from base spending for 26, 27, and 28, and 29. And that is the spreadsheet.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Any just general questions, members? And if you can ask me or Chair Cagle or Mr. Lee is always available, too, if something comes up to understand that. So very good. We will then move to in your bill, there's the actual governor's bill. And I'm still not sure how I got my name on there, but we're going to work off the DE. 2438 DE1. Yeah, so if you want to walk through that. And then also just, you know, we're going to use this stuff tomorrow too, so make sure you keep it in your packets and the ruler. Bring it back. Yeah, you can take it with you, but bring it back. There won't be another one in there.
Mr. Chair, and if you take the folder with you, you won't get any of the new handouts for tomorrow morning. So I would suggest leaving it here.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Mr. Lee. You've probably only done that about 200 times now for both of us chairs and others. but great job. Take it away, Mr. Burris. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll be walking through the Delete Everything Amendment. That is one of the items in your packet. It has a coding in the upper right of H2438DE1. So first, by way of a little bit of introduction to the budget layout in this, Article 1 contains the appropriations. That's the spending authority that Mr. Lee just walked through. And the structure for that in just broad terms is that they're for the core budget that's established in the DE amendment for the Department of Transportation, some of the divisions within Department of Public Safety, as well as some of the activities of state funding for the Metropolitan Council. Appropriations are identified in two columns on the right-hand side. Then there are a number of related provisions and riders associated with both the spending authority around those appropriations, along with other aspects that deal with the fiscal issues. That includes some transfer authority, some contingent appropriations in a couple of cases. And I thought I'd just outline that at a high level rather than going through each of the provisions that's found in Article 1. Can certainly jump into the details. So broadly, Article 1 contains those appropriations. It also contains the transfers, a couple of cancellations, as well as the extensions of prior law. That's all found in that. One thing, just as a reminder for members, all of the new language reflects what is being proposed to be enacted in law. There are a series of sections later on in Article 1, sections 11 and 12, as well as 13 through 16, that are modifications to prior law. Those won't have underlining. That reflects past budgets, particularly in 2023, that the prior legislature had enacted, and the extensions are modifications to some of the dates of the availability of the funds. So those aren't new. When you don't see the underlining, that's the old language of current law, just so that members are aware of that. So there are a fair number of sections that look a lot like the budget being proposed, but is actually prior budget language. There are a couple of other sections I'll just touch on briefly in Article 1. The first of those is Section 13, and I'm touching on these because they don't quite show up in the spreadsheet the way the rest of the provisions in this article are found in the context of the various tracking sheet numbers. So Section 13 is found on page 29 of the DE amendment, and this was part of the governor's recommendations. It broadens the authority for MnDOT to utilize funds that was in a 2023 appropriation related to environmental product declarations. Also in Article 1 on page 42, Section 17 has an allocation provision. This is one of several provisions that you'll find throughout the DE amendment that had been heard in committee. This provides direction to Hennepin County on using some funds to award a grant to the University of Minnesota. This is related to the Washington Avenue Bridge. So that, Mr. Chair and members, is a kind of brief outline of Article 1. With that, I'll move to Article 2. This contains a number of transportation policy and finance provisions. A number of them reflect what had been heard and either passed out of committee or laid over. There are some modifications compared to what had been heard in some cases, and a number of technical changes that are non-substantive in nature, sort of peppered throughout. So moving into Article 2 on page 43, Section 1 is a new proposal that relates to appropriations to the Department of Public Safety, where some funds are directed to the Advisory Council on Traffic Safety. Both Sections 1 and 2 modify the grant-making authority of that council. So Section 1 essentially establishes a cross-reference, and then Section 2 provides some authority to the Department of Public Safety in entering into agreements and awarding grants based on appropriations made to the Advisory Council. And then on page 44, Section 3 establishes the codification of the Empowering Small Minnesota Communities Program and lays out the program requirements. Sections 4 and 5 establish two trunk highway turnbacks. These are provisions that are from a Department of Transportation policy proposal that has there's a series of sections kind of peppered throughout this DE that reflect that proposal. And the trunk highway turnbacks are modifications made to statutory routes that are set out in state statute and reflect agreements between the Department of Transportation and local units of government to transfer jurisdiction of portions, or in some cases it can be the entirety of trunk highways, and then the statutory changes effectuate those agreements. Section 6 on page 46 contains a cross-reference conforming change. I'll sort of circle back to that in discussions of the substantive policy a little bit later. And then on page 46, Section 7 makes modifications to a greenhouse gas emissions mitigation an assessment program that is in current law and is currently operational. The effect of the changes being made in this section are to halt the assessment process that's currently in place on a project-by-project basis and extend the date for the what is under current law a switch to a programmatic basis for the assessments. So the combination of that is to create an extension or a delay until August 1st, 2028 for when the assessment and mitigation requirements would apply, and that would be for projects that are then being added to the department's work plan, the STIP, for 2032 or later. On page 47, section 8 has a conforming change, and I'll note there is a cross-reference that'll be proposed to be fixed on that one in a technical author's amendment. So the substantive change on this is actually found in the subsequent sections. Section 9 establishes a kind of sweep of funds that would be built up in the transportation impact assessment and mitigation account. If there's an excess of funds based on the calculation in that section, the additional dollars would be directed to move to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. Section 10 on page 48 sets requirements on local units of government to utilize any kind of investment revenue from various state sources only for transportation purposes. Section 11 allows for dealers in neighboring states to be treated as dealers in Minnesota, as if they're licensed in Minnesota. That's for some situations involving motor vehicle dealers. Section 12 is a modification to the electric vehicle surcharge, and this includes increasing the amount of the surcharge and modifying the allocation of surcharge funds. Section 13 extends the length of a temporary permit that is issued for transporting vehicles outside the state. Section 14 is a conforming change that really goes to the main modification that's found in Section 15. Mr. Lee had covered this earlier. This is the change in the allocation of revenue from donations on in order to obtain a blackout plate. So a distribution between the driver and vehicle services operating account and the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund is set out in that section. That's Section 15. And then Section 16 authorizes a new specialty license plate for motor vehicles that are rented, rental motor vehicle plate. Section 17 is among various provisions that are proposed as part of the governor's recommendations. So they're found in the underlying bill and then reproduced in the delete all amendment. And this makes a modification related to dealers and who is considered a licensed dealer, so that independent contractors are separated out. Section 18 modifies background check requirements for dealers. Section 19 contains a couple of different provisions from looking at it from the standpoint of where the proposals originally came from, and there's some modifications following from those proposals. So the governor's original recommendations are modified here, and part of the changes found in Section 19, and this all, by the way, relates to dealer motor vehicle dealers as well. Among the changes, dealers are able to be issued dealer plates from a trade association. So the trade association is given authority to authorize or to issue the plates. The fee structure is modified somewhat for that plate issuance. This section also contains authorization for use of courtesy vehicles. and some modifications to the use of dealer plates for courtesy vehicles are found a little bit farther in that section. And then on page 56, section 20 has a similar change related to issuance of dealer plates. This is for other types of vehicles. And then section 21 is the first of two sections that provide for reimbursements from the Department of Public Safety to deputy registrars and driver's license agents for some types of no-fee transactions. The reimbursement amounts are listed out in this section, and there's an appropriation going along with this that's found in the appropriation to the department in Article 1. Section 22 is another piece of the extension for a temporary permit. This is really a conforming change in referencing the temporary permit. Sections 23 and 24 make some modifications to certificate of titles and insurers being able to obtain a certificate of title, as well as auction companies. This is involving salvage vehicles and vehicles obtained by insurance companies on payment of damages. Sections 25 and 26 relate to the retail delivery fee. Section 25 has a definition that's established for that chapter, and then section 26 establishes a couple of additional exemptions from the retail delivery fee, and that's related to delivery of both fuel products and aggregate materials. Section 27 is a modification to a definition of intersection to eliminate a distinction on divided highways. This is one of the various policy changes that is proposed in the Department of Transportation policy bill. Section 28 is also coming out of that bill, and this is a modification around traffic regulations involving traffic signals where there's a flashing yellow light. Section 29 also is from the MnDOT policy bill proposals, and this modifies reporting requirements involved when there's an accident that involves bodily injury. So eliminate some of the restrictions or the narrowness of the reporting. And then moving to page 65, section 30. This is a expansion of situations when a person's license can be revoked for speeding. It incorporates revocations or adds in revocations when a person is speeding 35 miles per hour or more over the speed limit. Under current law, that revocation provision only applies to speeding situations in which the operator of the vehicle is going 100 miles an hour or higher. This too is part of the executive branch recommendations and proposals. Section 31 sets seatbelt requirements for some types of all-terrain vehicles when operated on public roads. And then section 32 goes along with section 33. These two sections are modifications to a special permit that is issued by road authorities for overweight vehicles in some circumstances. And this adds in crude soybean oil as one of the types of products that can be hauled under the permit. There are some modifications from the bill when it was heard in committee. Among those, the addition of crude soybean oil is set for a specified number of years, so that would only continue until January 1, 2031. You'll see that at the bottom of page 66. And there are also route restrictions established for that type of transport. That's found on the bottom of page 67. And then on page 68, there's a definition of what is a road test, and that goes along with a section a little bit later in the DE amendment. Section 35 is the commercial learner's permit extension that Mr. Lee had mentioned earlier. So this is the moving out to holding or having that authority for 1 year instead of 6 months. Section 36 is another governor's recommendation. This is found on page 68. And this provides for online renewal of driver's licenses and identification cards. And it lays out the requirements for that renewal process. Section 37 is the first of a couple of Department of Public Safety proposals, and this goes along with Section 38 to shift, essentially move the codification of the types of documents that have to be provided as evidence of a name change. So that's Sections 37 and 38. Section 39 is the second piece of the no-fee transaction reimbursements that I mentioned earlier. Again, this lists out various types of transactions that a driver's license agent would perform and be reimbursed for under a schedule that's laid out. So this is the driver's license agent version of that. Section 40 modifies and adds fees related to driver's exams. It increases the fee for failure to appear for an exam. This is an amended or adjusted amount from what had been heard in committee. And then it also establishes a cancellation fee for farther out from the first 24 hours. Section 41 modifies a restriction that's in current law around ongoing recurring scheduling of driver's license exams. And this eliminates the restriction for commercial driver's license examinations. Section 42 makes essentially a technical clarification on the to establish a cross-reference to the actual statutes relating to the revocations that follow from a manslaughter conviction. Section 43 on page 74 is another proposal that was part of the governor's recommendations. And this provides authority to the Department of Transportation to provide grants or other forms of financial assistance to align with greenhouse gas emissions reductions goals. There's not an appropriation related to this, but the authority is being established in this section. Section 44 is the first of a series of sections that kind of connect together. And this first section eliminates a report. That report language is actually being substantively reestablished in another report. So there's something of a report centralization happening. So we'll sort of circle back to that a little bit farther in the DE amendment. Section 45 directs the Department of Transportation to establish targets around asset sustainability ratios and provide reporting on that. Section 46, which is found on page 76, directs the Department of Transportation to establish a geographic information system-based portal that identifies previous projects, existing projects, and activity to develop upcoming projects. It lays out some of the design aspects of the portal and as well as specifying the content that needs to be made available to people who utilize the portal. The provision also includes a requirement of the department to establish a fiscal transparency dashboard, kind of going along somewhat with the portal, and it identifies some of the fiscal information at, broadly speaking, at a summary level around the expenditures and funding sources related to transportation. This carries a delayed implementation. So on, you'll see on page 79, the implementation requirements. That includes a earlier of January 1, 2028, or when the information technology system can be implemented. Section 47 sets out a reporting provision around that consolidates, in conjunction with a couple of other sections, local reporting from a couple of different transportation sources. The way this is structured is that the Department of Transportation is directed to create a consolidated report that comes from regional railroad authorities as well as counties in the metropolitan area, and essentially rolls, kind of combines all of those reports so that a single document is submitted to the legislature along with a couple of summary elements. This provision outlines both the submission of the report and what the report needs to contain, as well as various aspects of the financial information that needs to be found in the report. That financial information is largely reproducing two existing reports that are in current law for counties, and those are eliminated a little bit later in the DE in conjunction with this centralized reporting. This provision also includes a withholding requirement if the required information is not provided to the Department of Transportation. Section 48 contains a addition to the list of types of reports that are not subject to a report cancellation provision. So it adds the consolidated report to that list so that there's not a future cancellation under that general removal of reports that are subject to removal under the criteria that are in the statute. Section 49 on page 81 establishes the resilient pavement program, and this has an appropriation that Mr. Lee had touched on earlier. This program involves analysis of modifications to the pavement design on trunk highway projects, goes along with the funding for design changes to change aspects of the pavement materials and usage. Section 50 is found on page 82. This is another executive branch proposal or recommendation, and it broadens the authority for active transportation program solicitation periods so that it doesn't have to be conducted annually. Section 51 is one of the pieces of the consolidated reporting provision that I outlined earlier. This adds on for metropolitan counties some additional reporting information that relates to county use of funds that are subject to a couple of different allocation budgets, buckets. This is part of the regional sales tax revenue stream that then is allocated to metropolitan counties and then further allocated into a couple of different uses. So the reporting would identify how those uses are under this section. Section 52 also relates to reporting. This one is connected to the transportation projects portal. The effect of this is to eliminate a major highway projects reporting component in an existing MnDOT report, and a lot of that information is what is part of what's required in the portal. And then there's a centralization of a report that I had mentioned earlier that is now included in this report and some technical changes going along with it. So the net effect is some reporting requirements are removed. Reporting is some equivalent information is required in the portal, and there's a centralization of Department of Transportation report information. Section 53 contains the delay in when annual transfers are required to go from the general fund into a passenger rail account. This is one of the items Mr. Lee had mentioned earlier. And then sections 54 and 55 modify the electric assisted bicycle rebate program. And this includes changing the eligibility, reducing the amount of the rebate provided to each individual, and shifting to a lottery basis for allocation of the rebates. Section 56 is another piece of the consolidated local transportation reporting. You can see on page 89 the eliminations of the report language. That's what's established in the other statute. Section 57, also on page 89, is a governor's recommendation, and this provides authority to the Department of Public Safety around use of funds for grant administration. It sets out percentages of administrative or funds that could be used on a percentage basis by the department for the administrative costs. Section 58 is one of a couple of sections that are also governor's recommendations, and this provides for a change in how small unmanned aircraft are registered for purposes of a one-day event where there's a coordinated use of those aircraft. So Section 58 contains the definition, and then in a later section, there's a provision around how the registration is set up. Sections 59 through 62 are, again, governor's recommendations I believe that those are in the policy omnibus for the department, or not omnibus, but the policy proposal for the Department of Transportation. This sets out an electronic or digital attestation approach for registration of some types of aircraft, collector's aircraft, recreational aircraft, agricultural aircraft. So that allows for submission through a electronic means of some of the required information related to registration of those types of aircraft. And then on page 93, section 63 is the other part of the coordinated unmanned aircraft system fleet. That this lays out the registration process and fees. Section 64 is another piece of the coordinated local reporting. This is additional reporting in this section that is required of regional rail authorities that are associated with metropolitan area counties. And by metropolitan area, I mean the Twin Cities metro area. Section 65 is a clarifying cross-reference that is for the Metropolitan Council. It relates to the local use of investment dollars by local units of government. It's just establishing that the Metropolitan Council, or clarifying or reminding that Metropolitan Council is also subject to that provision. Sections 66 through 68 set out the authority for the Metropolitan Council to issue bonds. Mr. Lee had covered this earlier in the spreadsheet walkthrough. So Section 66 lays out the authority for the coming couple of years. And then Section 67 provides direction on essentially repayment to the general fund to hold the general fund harmless due to tax interactions that occur as a result of the issuance of the bonds. The bonds are backed by a property tax levy that the Metropolitan Council has authority to issue, and that then can trigger some tax aids that are paid from the state general fund. So as a result of Section 67, it ends up being, the bonding authorization ends up being revenue neutral from the standpoint of the transportation budget target. Section 68 establishes a limitation on the use of proceeds from those bonds related to light rail transit expenditures. Section 69, found on page 95, is also a governor's recommendation. Mr. Lee had touched on this earlier in the spreadsheet. This is to provide transit service for Metro Mobility customers, providing transit service free of charge. Section 70 also is found in the governor's recommendations, and this authorizes the Metropolitan Council to provide a loan to the Department of Transportation for a coordinated for coordination with the department on a major transitway project that goes along with road construction. Section 71 is another piece of the changes in the Metropolitan County reporting requirements. And then Section 72 provides direction on changing rules related to loss of consciousness and voluntary control by the Department of Public Safety. It specifies the nature of the rule change. Section 73 authorizes the establishment of a provider in Circle Pines to operate as a full service provider for both driver licensing and as a deputy registrar for vehicle transactions. Section 74 is an addition in the delete all amendment, and this would direct the Metropolitan Council, or does direct the Metropolitan Council, to perform an analysis of alternate transit in the corridor of the Blue Line Light Rail Transit extension. That analysis is laid out as far as what kinds of requirements the council is directed to, or what kind of information, I should say, the council is directed to provide. And the council is also directed to submit the analysis to the legislature by January 15th, 2026. Also on page 98, section 95 contains a analysis requirement of the Metropolitan Council, and this is around high subsidy regular route transit service. This provision too also lays out some of the details that are required in the analysis and directs the council to provide a copy of it to the legislature by March 1st, 2026.
Mr. Burris, did I hear you right? We're not able to do the regional transit capital bonds? I'm just kidding. I think I misread that. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, and then page 99, section 76, this directs the Department of Transportation to arrange for an analysis of the forecasting of the Metropolitan Council, which is performed for the Special Transportation Service or Metro Mobility costs. So this section directs the MnDOT to enter into an agreement for analysis, sets out some of the information to be considered, and directs the council to provide for data and information, and also requires submission of the analysis to the legislature. Section 77 on page 100 provides a legislative report, or really directs the Department of Revenue to provide the legislative report. This is related to the electric assisted bike rebate program. And then Article 3 contains conforming changes. This is a series of technical changes to keep statutes in line with one of the changes that's made earlier in the delete all amendment. That, Mr. Chair, is a review, and I'm happy to go into further detail or answer questions.
Great. Thank you so much. That's a lot of information. You do a wonderful job. If you call Mr. Burris, he can almost tell you just off the top of the head what page or section it is. Just one second. Go ahead, Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Burris, I'm just looking at Section 77. I don't remember ever. I'm just kind of curious where that came from on page 100. Did we see? But this is a report.
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and Representative Cagle, this was part of the electric assisted bicycle rebate revisions. I believe the as introduced language did not have this report, and then there was a amendment that had been, I'll have to double check my offhand, I believe it was adopted in committee before the bill was laid over, and so this was included as part of that amendment that had been adopted by the committee.
Thank you. My memory is just bad.
Okay. Any members have want clarification or anything?
Kraft.
Oh, Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one quick question. There was the necessary appropriation for the IDWI interlock bill is in here, but the language is not. Is that because the language is in a different area of law?
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kraft, you're correct. The appropriation is being carried here. As I'm sure you're aware, but so members are aware, the bill had passed out of committee and is now, last I had checked, in Ways and Means. Yeah. That bill could travel independently without an appropriation in order to identify and carry and track those costs. The appropriation was added in this DE amendment. But the language is not incorporated in this DE amendment.
Representative Kraft?
Okay.
No. That's a good question. When we went through it, I was a little surprised at the fiscal cost because I thought it was traveling. I figured it was going to judiciary where we sent it. So it was surprised to see the cost come back here, but I think that's something that we can deal with. Go ahead, Representative Kraft. Yeah.
So that has always been in the fiscal note. It's comes out of a Department of Vehicle Services special account, so it's no general fund impact. But it's always been in the fiscal notes from when we heard it.
My recollection is there was no fiscal note at committee, but. Nonetheless, any other questions or Representative Scraba?
Chair, I have several. I don't know if this is the appropriate time to go through it. I mean, they're very simple questions.
Yeah, why don't I take one question first that I have and then I'll go back to you.
Okay.
Mr. Burris, I had it, but you could probably help me. Back to the retail delivery tax on the aggregate materials. I have it in my notes, but I don't know quickly which page that is.
Mr. Chair, that's found on page 61. And the aggregate part is on page 62 for the addition of aggregate materials.
Yeah, and we can talk offline after. Chair Cagle, I think you and I also wanted to revisit that there was an oral amendment included in that to clarify in committee multiple types of or construction material. So rather than just aggregate, include asphalt. And I think the Joy amendment was for construction materials, if I remember that correctly. If you can confirm that that's not the way the language is currently, and then something that we can clean up in an author's amendment. Am I understanding that correctly?
Mr. Chair, there is a modification that's found here. There is some additional language in the bill as introduced that had a cross-reference to a statute that lays out aggregate, and there was an interpretation indicated by the Department of Revenue regarding how that interaction would work. This eliminate, you know, this version in the DE has that cross-reference eliminated. I had My understanding has been that that was the nature of the oral amendment. If there are other materials to also specify, I need to look into it a little bit further and probably consult with my colleagues and who staff the taxes, but we could work through that to add some additional clarification or additional items if that's the intent.
I believe that's the intent, Chair Cagle. Maybe you and I can discuss this with Mr. Burris after committee here. So thank you. So it sounds like there may be a little bit of work to be done, just to clarify what the committee and the oral amendment in committee was. Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Chair. Salvage permits, inspection, is that what the insurer application for title is, page 59? I just remember, and I'm going off of my memory, a lot of people were complaining about they had to wait to get a salvage permit. I mean, wait, and there's only one person in the whole state, and we were trying to find a way to get other people to do this. And is that what this is here? If not, we can move on.
Representative Scraba, this deals with the titling, I believe. It was a Patty, Representative Anderson bill. But Mr. Burris, can you... Is that correct, or is there a different thought?
Mr. Chair, yes, this is coming from that bill. I wouldn't read this as directly addressing concerns that had been raised in the past about the timeline and delays for the inspections process.
Correct. So it deals with the titling of salvage titles, not the inspections, but we did have a little bit of discussion on that.
All right,
you have another question?
I do. I have several. Hold on. Yeah. 1 second here. On page 76, on the major highway project means a highway project that has a total cost of segments that Commissioner recently estimates at $15 million in the metro and $5 million in the non-metro. Is there a reason why there's a difference between 15 and 5?
Representative Scraba, or Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scraba, a little bit of context might be helpful on that. That language is substantially reproducing what is a definition on an existing major highway projects report. So that for purposes of the existing report, that was the cutoff that the legislature had established when the reporting requirement was put into place. That portion is that definition is essentially getting moved over. That's part of the major highway projects reporting that's eliminated on one side, and then that same information is then required in the portal. My recollection from a number of years ago when that was first enacted is that there was some thinking about a difference in general project size and scope, where the legislature would be interested in having the level of detail coming out of the report. So it's kind of essentially setting a threshold for when more information is being required of the department to get into the details of different kinds of projects.
Mr. Chair, I'm just going to do this offline. I got a lot of little ones that they're real simple, but it's just going to take too much time. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Representative Scraba, and I'm happy to maybe help you too to save Mr. Burris a little bit of time unless it's super complicated. I believe Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the walkthrough, Mr. Burris. Obviously, there was a lot that you went through, and so I may have missed this. There was a lot about reporting changes, specifically regarding the metropolitan counties. Can you remind me, were those governor recommendations? And I can point to you, one of the areas was on line 88.26, was one of them.
Mr. Burris, when you're assembled. I think a lot of the reporting also might have been through the portal area of the bill for the website, but I could be wrong. Representative Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Jones, those are not part of the governor's recommendations. There were two provisions that Representative Cagle could speak to if desired, but one modifies the local reporting requirements essentially to centralize and broaden and have reporting get combined and go through. This was a bill that Representative Cagle is authoring. And then the other, I know I mentioned reporting quite a bit. The other one is the transportation project portal that had some related reporting changes that came from that. So those were kind of the two sources from a related bill standpoint of the reporting requirement changes.
Great. You want to add into this or follow up for Representative Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, you know, the key thing that we're trying to do here is consolidate the reporting and make it so that MnDOT doesn't have to do all of this reporting, and that when they do find the information, and the best way to get it to us is through kind of like this interactive website where we can scroll over each project, see the goals and the metrics and the prices and all that kind of stuff. And so that's the hope, to help it make it be more transparent and easier to digest while eliminating a lot of the reports. I'm looking at you, Jen. Eliminate a lot of the reports that MnDOT has to do.
Representative Jones, are you good or follow-up? Or
thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. I had one other question. Was wondering, so in line 95.8, the transit service for disabled riders, I'm also curious, like, if you can remind me where that came from. Is that coming from a bill, or is that Governor's Rex? Just trying to remember.
Thank you, Representative Jones. You said 95 what?
0.8.
Yeah, and, you know, we did have a consolidated, not an ideal session, so there are some department, to your question, some department provisions that were not heard in committee, a couple bills, unfortunately, that are did make it, in, not unfortunately, but unfortunately in the fact that we didn't get to discuss some bills, but they were discussed with Chair Cagle and I, and are included in here. But I'll let Mr. Burris give more cohesive answer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Jones, this was one of the governor's recommendations.
Are you good? Okay. I know the Senate Transportation was meeting tonight, so we didn't have quite the audience we normally do, but I know there's a lot of people intently listening in. And so, again, want to appreciate everybody's input and help throughout session on getting the bill to this stage. I think I already gave a reminder to leave the bill in your packets and the amendments and the ruler and the spreadsheets. Or bring them back tomorrow if you need them. I don't see any other member questions or comments. Again, our appreciation to Mr. Lee and Mr. Burris, House Fiscal and House Research. Thank you to those that have joined us, and we'll be back at 9 o'clock tomorrow in this room or 123? We'll be back here at G3. Where am I? G3 at the Capitol, 9 a.m. tomorrow move the bill and mark it up and passage. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you, members.